Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back to another episode of A Chump Chat. It's your boy, Johan Gomez, alongside my co-host, Chris Kuchar. And today, fresh off his first U.S. Men's National Team cap and ready for a true breakout season in the MLS with Columbus Crew, help us welcome Aiden Morris.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Excited. Of course, brother. Of course. Hey, people might not know this, but we go back. We first met like 3 years, almost 4 years now. It's 2023, almost 4 years ago now. And that was quite the experience that we'll get into later. But we're going to hand it off to Chris. Start off with 20 questions. We do this with all our guests. I think we have a leaderboard. Our editor will put the clock in there. He's going to ask you 20 questions. Rapid fire, as fast as you can. I think maybe Paxton Aronson is at the top of the leaderboard right now. We don't know, but we'll put it up there. But yeah,
he cheated, try to get through it. He's at the top for now. He's at the top for now. All right. Gotcha. Are you ready? I'm just going to run through him.
Let's do it.
Alrighty, Florida, Ohio, or Indiana?
Florida.
Best player that you've played with?
Gonzanaki.
If you could only listen to one artist on a 10-hour road trip, who are you picking?
Drake.
Would you rather be underdressed or overdressed?
Overdressed.
Messi or Ronaldo?
Messi.
Most intimidating away field in the MLS?
None of them.
Last second headed equalizer or two own goals, but your team wins?
Two own goals.
Favorite pregame meal?
Chicken rice, tomato sauce, pickles, a little salad.
Favorite TV show?
Peaky Blinders.
If you had to let one teammate date your daughter, who would it be?
Isaiah Prente.
Biggest pet peeve?
Don't walk across the street with your phone out.
An athlete you would want as a teammate, any sport?
Retired count?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan.
Dream club to play for?
Manchester United.
Most embarrassing moment on the field?
We scored one time. And I was going to take the kickoff.
All right. Celebrity crush.
Margot Robbie.
Solid. Do you prefer your team's home or away kit?
I like the black one better. So away. I believe, yeah.
If you had to pick, eat out, DoorDash, or cook from home?
Cook for home. Cook from home, yeah.
Would you rather have $1 billion or end world hunger?
End world hunger for sure.
He thought about that way too long.
I mean, I think it's a trap right there.
How much do you spend on haircuts?
$20 a month, $40 a month, two haircuts a month.
Where are you taking a girl on a first date?
Nice restaurant. That's it, really. Probably that's it.
All right, time. I think that's actually the fastest one.
2 minutes, 32 seconds. That was all right. It was all right.
Was it not fast?
I didn't realize how, I mean, I feel like it's just the delivery of the questions and how fast it comes
up. Yeah, true. True. Like, I probably spent most of the time.
You were recruited from Florida. from Weston, right? Weston FC, mm-hmm. to move to Columbus. Kind of how hard was that decision to leave your family and friends, even when you were already getting called up to youth national team playing for Weston? Like, mm-hmm. how big was that decision for you?
I mean, I think you can kind of speak for yourself as well. I think when it comes to following your dreams, I don't think there's anything that, I mean, obviously it is a sacrifice. You know what I mean? You're young, you're leaving your family, but when it comes to following your dream, I don't think anything matters and anything stops you from doing that. So I would like to say, yeah, there's a little hesitation, but I was all on board. My family was all on board. So it was full throttle from there.
Looking back from where you're at now, it's easy to say that in the moment. Were there any regrets when you first got there, or was it all smooth sailing?
No, I mean, it's hard to believe, but yeah, it was smooth sailing. I mean, I knew, like, I was fortunate enough to have a host family here that I absolutely, like, would call my parents now. You know what I mean? I love them. I still go over there every week and hang out with them, to where, like, not everyone's fortunate enough to be in that situation. And I realized that. So I think it really made that transition really easy. So, yeah.
I know. Yeah, I think, so go ahead. I was watching a few videos of yours, and you spoke about how you did some futsal growing up. So Johan and I were on a team together, and I know it helped both our games astronomically. How much of your technical success would you credit to futsal, and do you recommend it for players upcoming?
Of course. I think there's a couple parts to it. I think it's important to kind of step away from, you know what I mean, just the normal and just going on the grass field. I think it's just a different dynamic. And I think it also, the other part is, gives you a bit of freedom. You know what I mean? I think when you step on the court and the ball is heavy, you know what I mean? The weight of it, it kind of forces you to dribble. You know what I mean? It's not a ball that's meant to be passed around. So it kind of gives you that freedom and that allows you to express yourself. So I think when I go home in Florida in the offseason, like, I play in these, all these different, like, pickup leagues and whatever, and all these guys try to kill you, and it's always with a futsal ball. So you're just, like, dribbling everywhere. And I love, you know what I mean? It just allows me to focus on that one aspect of the game. So, yeah, I would recommend it to anyone growing up and playing soccer.
Talking about going back home and playing, do you not get scared that you're going to get injured? Some of these guys
For sure. You kind of, I mean, I'm like, I know a lot of the guys before I go out there, and I try to ask the vibe and everything. Like, hey, what's this team about? Like, what are they doing? But last time I was out there, I was balling with, like, Fafa Pical and a couple other guys, and we're just playing. Like, me, I like to just, I'll keep it simple. If I get, like, the vibe, these guys are trying to come for you. But other than that, I mean, I'm not just going to be a little baby and just, you know, 1-2 touch. So I want to work on stuff as well. So it's a balance, you know what I mean? Just try to get the vibe. But it is scary, I'll be honest. It is.
Yeah, but you make one guy, next play, he's like 2 foot tackling you, bro.
For sure. I just like to be so nice with them, dude. I'll go up to them before the game, like, hey, man, what's up? Like, how you doing? Like, you good? Awesome. That's all I really do.
That's funny. Yeah, me and Chris, sometimes when I go back, we'll play, but he kind of knows how it is. It's like, but, like, especially with certain people, like, they just kind of get a little extra salty if you, like, start showing out a little bit, and just kind of, like, you know how it is.
For sure.
But yeah, you were recruited heavily, and you even tested out the waters in Europe. Obviously, we were out there together for a little bit, but before you decided on going to Indiana, where you won top draw soccer freshman of the year, that then led you to earning a homegrown with the Crew in 2020, I believe, early 2020. How much would you say your experience in college, you know, helped you grow your game now? Some people have positive things to say about it. Other people have some negative things to say about it. What was your experience?
I think there's two sides of it. It was such a strange kind of time. You know what I mean? I think college helped me so much with my defensive aspect of the game. It's a lot more direct in terms of, like, winning second balls, playing off the nine, all that stuff. So I think it kind of gave me a new style in terms of that. But then my overall speed of play, I think, dropped a lot. You know what I mean? I was super casual on the ball, just get the ball. I could take 5-6 touches whenever I wanted. And so when I came back to – when I signed again, it was like – oh, like, this is a little bit of a shock. You know what I mean? I can't be chilling around here. Like, I'm going to get pressed. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have that time on the ball. So I think there's pros and cons to it all. But I mean, looking back on it, my style, my game right now is a lot of defensive kind of, I rely on it a lot. So I think looking back on it, I think it helped me a lot. So yeah.
Well, would you say that you were able in the short time that you were there, would you say that you were able to get the quote unquote college experience in your personal life? Were you able to have fun as well, or was it all business?
I think Johan knows me. I think for the most part, I like to keep it all business, but I mean, like I'll say it to anybody, it was probably the funnest 4 months of my life. I mean, when you're a pro now, like people don't realize you're surrounded around a bunch of like 30-year-old guys.
Yeah.
I mean, like after training, like these guys go home, they're with their family, everything. Like those kids in school, like you ride with them every day. You know what I mean? You go to train, you go back, you eat together, everything's with them. So it's like this brotherhood. You kind of can't replicate in kind of the professional lifestyle.
Do you keep up with them now? Your college teammates?
Some of them, a select few. Not a lot though, but a select few, yeah.
Is there anything crazy from college, like any crazy stories in terms of maybe things that would go on in the weight room, crazy things they'd ask you to do, or away days, initiations, anything like that?
They actually were pretty cool with us, the freshmen that year. Because I think we had like 7 or 8 freshmen come in. So they're like, and we were all like starters basically. So they're like, okay, like we can't like mess with them too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, it was pretty chill. It was pretty chill. Nothing like that crazy. Nothing that should be shared on this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I don't know if this is right or not. It was 4 years ago now. But I swear when we were in Germany, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I swear like you had told me that Indiana wasn't necessarily like your first option. Like I think you were kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if we can cut this out if we have to cut this out, but I swear you said like, yeah, I'm kind of testing out the waters in Germany, kind of like seeing. You went with Crew's blessing, so Crew had like, you know, helped you set it up and everything, but you were kind of saying like, in theory, my first option would be to sign homegrown, and then maybe second option would be go to college. Is that true?
Yeah. So it was like, it was kind of that time. And it was like, Columbus was close to the end of the year. They weren't going to make playoffs probably. And just talking to my family, it was a tough decision to talk to my family, just go to school, get a lifetime education, under my belt. And so, yeah, we waited out, and that seemed like the best option at the time.
Oh, they honor the scholarship for life.
Yeah. So that's the main reason I went, to get an education on my belt and just whenever I can go back and take classes or whatever.
I think it's a good decision.
Is that something you plan on doing or you'd hope to do down the road?
I think I'm lazy, dude, when it comes to school. I just like, I come home and like, I'm finished with all my soccer stuff around like 8 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? I come home, yeah. I do recovery, do all this different stuff. And to where it's like, that's a full-time job for me in itself. And I think having school, I'm not saying it's bad for everyone. I know, like, I would recommend it, you know what I mean? But just for me and myself, like, I guess I don't prioritize it. I know that kind of sounds bad, but it's just not on the top of my list in terms of priorities.
What was your major?
I didn't have one.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I took, like, piano class.
He knew.
And
he knew he was getting out of there in 4 months, bro. He knew.
Piano but class,
that's,
yeah.
That's the thing, though. It's like, nothing's ever guaranteed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I went there, and I was just like, dude, like, If I like stink the place out, like I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. So it's like having this mentality, and like, I'm not going to call any names, but kids went in there and they just had this mentality like, oh, I'm out of here after a semester.
Yeah.
And then to where like they ended up being there like 3 more years later. You know what I mean? It's just funny how that stuff works out.
So you talk about being done by the day, with the day by 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about recovery. Walk me through kind of what you do if you're cool with sharing that, because I know like, you know, right as it seemed that you were about to have your breakout season after the MLS Cup, obviously you tore your ACL. That can be super frustrating mentally, emotionally, all that stuff. So did that have to do now with helping you focus primarily on your recovery, injury prevention, things like that? Or would you say you were already good about that beforehand?
I think I was focused on it before then. I think I have a lot of good guys around me here in terms of guys who have been in the league forever and, you know, like, they're not going to be in the league anymore if they don't take care of their body. So I surround myself around a lot of those guys to where it kind of, it's contagious, but getting injured, that definitely like brought up to another level. So yeah, I mean, if you want me to tell you my schedule, I come home and you know, obviously dude, I'm a kid dude. Like I sit on TikTok sometimes and, you know, I look at Instagram, everything like that's natural. But I like to meditate, call family, call friends, recovery, stretch. Sometimes do a core workout later. I make my own meals sometimes, like from the facility, I'll cook a little bit. But I mean, just like within that, it takes a little bit of time and I'll find different things to do, like other different recovery stuff, watch training back. So by then, that's my night. And I just kind of try to kick it after that.
People don't realize that, I think. I think people just think that we go train in the morning and then we just kick it the whole day. But in reality, like some days you're dead in training, and like maybe you have boots at home, so you want to do boots. You know, you want to do film analysis on your next opponent or maybe watch your other game back, you know, be stretching. Like you said, if you want to do some extra work, mobility, that kind of stuff. And by the end of the day, like you're gassed and it's like, okay, well, like you only train for 2 hours, but now like, you know, I mean, you're mentally exhausted. You're like physically exhausted. So yeah, I get what you mean, but you've always kind of been disciplined in that sense. And I'm kind of jumping around here, but I want to talk about, well, actually, I don't know, Chris, what you were going to ask if it had to do with
I was going to say, it's funny that you mentioned TikTok, because before you got on, Johan was telling me that back in the day, you would do all these TikTok dances. You're like one of the first dudes to him that would, that showed him TikTok, and you would put all these dances in the drafts. I was just wondering, have any of those dances ever been posted? Have any of them come out, or are they just sitting in the drafts collecting dust?
It's so funny. Like, I look at my TikTok drafts, like probably like once every 3 months, and just look at them, and like there's probably like 5 videos in there ever, and it's like 3 of them with Johan, and I'm just like I don't,
bro,
like
I love, I
don't
that know, though, he put me on, he put me on,
yeah, I would never post them anywhere, and like I look at them, I'm like, bro, like I just like start cringing out like crazy.
You're talking about discipline, talking about your recovery, you know, doing different things. I remember, and I do know you're all business, back in 2019, We'd obviously share meals together and stuff like that. If I remember correctly, you were on a keto diet. Jogle hits me up because we had announced the guest questions or whatever. And he hits me up. He's like, oh, you're going to record with Aiden? I was like, yeah, bro. And he was like, bro, you should ask him why he eats 3 plates of food on game day. Ask him why he eats that much. And so that's Jogle's question to you. Or like, are you on some kind of diet? Like, what's good? Because he said some days you didn't eat like anything. And then like game day, you ate like 4 plates of food. That's exactly what he said.
Yeah. I like to be pretty routine with it all. It's not like, so back then I would kind of use the wrong term, and like keto. It is more like low carb periodization. And to where it's like, I'd lead up my carb intake towards the game. So say the game's on Saturday, there'd be no carbs Monday, no carbs Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Thursday, I just implement like a handful of carbs with each meal. That'd be like a plus 1 day. And then Friday would be a plus 2 day, so 2 handfuls of carbs with each meal. And then game day is plus 2 handfuls of carbs with a meal. You get it. I don't know. I guess, I mean, the thing is, like, I never get full when I don't have carbs. You know what I mean? Like, you have a burger and a weapon if you just had the patty. Like, you're not getting full.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? To where, like, carbs just fill up your stomach and everything, to where it's like everyone sees me going back for, like, plates and stuff, and I'm just like, I'm not eating what you guys are eating. So, like, I still have a lot of – I still got a lot of – space to fill the tank. Yeah. So yeah. But game days, I guess I keep it like nothing crazy, but I like Jogo's watching my plates. I like it. It's good.
Jogo's definitely plate watching, just so you know. Next time you link up with him, he's definitely plate watching.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on him, bro. Keep an eye on him.
But anyway, talking about MLS again, you know, you got a fair share of minutes in your first season. Your breakout was MLS Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You had a great performance, obviously. I've been knowing what you're capable of. The world kind of saw what you're capable of. Is there any kind of crazy story from that when you found out you were starting or afterwards or anything like that?
Yeah, it is a crazy story for sure. I was kind of the third string midfielder at the time behind Daunton and Artur. And COVID was kind of like killing our playoff run. Like there was one game where we literally didn't train for a day and we went and played Nashville and we won. Like, we didn't have a day to train. We were off for, like, 3 days because of COVID. And we all just showed up to, like, the stadium we played. I don't know if it was Nashville or New England, one of those games. And then, so it was kind of lingering around. And then I ended up going to Daunton's kids', like, birthday party thing. We were all just driving the cars around, like, handing them our gifts and stuff. Like, we didn't get out. And then later that night, like, I get a text from Daunton, like, before the MLS Cup final. And he was like, it was 2 days before. And he was like, yo, like, I think I may have tested positive for COVID. But, like, because it was Daunton, bro. Like, they're going to test this guy as many times as they can until, like, a negative came back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I was in the room with Sebastian, and Miguel. We were all just like, no way. Like, this is crazy. So, like, obviously it sucked for Daunton. That's my guy. But it was like my name was called. And then from there, it was just like, all right, I got to turn it on. Maybe it was a little bit better that it kind of just happened like that, instead of kind of just knowing I was starting for like a week. But yeah, kind of crazy.
Were you nervous?
Not at all, dude. I was so pumped. Like there was no nerves. It was just like I was just so ready to do it. I just wanted the game to start. Yeah.
Were you nervous before your national team debut?
Not really. Like, dude, I'll be honest, dude. I get nerves for sure. Like, I think everyone does. I think it's good that you get nerves, but there's just some games where I'm just so calm. I'm so chill. I'm like, I just like believe in myself and I'm confident. And yeah, I think, yeah.
Does it have to do with that meditation that you're talking about?
No, I think it helps. I think preparation builds confidence. So I think I do all this preparation stuff and, you know, some of it might be bull crap. You know, some of it might just not work, but it builds me confidence and it kind of keeps me on track. And it's like, okay, I did this day, I did that today. Like I'm on track. You know what I mean? I did everything I could. So.
I feel like we talked a fair share about MLS. Let's talk a little bit about Europe. Obviously you're still playing in MLS, so it's not as, you know, current, but we met through a trial in Augsburg for those people who don't know, like I said, 4 years ago. What do you remember about our time there?
That city was ridiculous, dude. That place was so boring. First of all, and I was like, I didn't realize that you were going to be there. And I realized you were there. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank God. Like I got another American here. But that was a funny time. Cause we were still like young. I think I was like 16, 17.
We're 17, I think.
Both yeah. 17. And that one day when I explored the city, that was ridiculous. I think I was talking about the other day with someone how we just like didn't have a ride back. And like, yeah, I don't know if you want to put this in, but Johan was like, yo, we might have to take this bike.
Did I actually say that?
I was like, bro, we might have to take the bike. I was like, dude, I'm not taking a bike, dude.
Bro, I'm going to tell the story as I remember. I don't remember that part. I probably did say that. Man, we can keep that in. Those are my survival instincts. Yeah. We'll just say that. Gotcha. But so me and Aiden, we had gotten close. I said we gotten close. We had a handshake by the end of the time there. We were killing it in practice. So we just link up and destroy the 19s. But anyway, so we're out the last night in Augsburg together before you left. I think you left the day before I did. And we're out eating, chopping it up. And so we take a bus to wherever we go. And next thing we know, it's getting late and it's raining. It starts raining and we get on a bus and we're like, all right, let's just, I don't know what the hell we were thinking. We got on a bus having no idea where we were going. So essentially, next thing we know, the bus is like last stop.
Phones were dying. We didn't have a lot of money on us.
We didn't have any money on us, I'm pretty sure. Because anyway, that's later in the story. But the bus hits its final stop and we're like the last people on the bus. And the guy looks at us and is like, all right, last stop. And we had no idea where we were. We had thought that we got on the same bus that we got on to go to the city. And so now all of a sudden, like, it's raining. We have no money. We're in the middle of nowhere. And I remember Aiden had, like, the Bird app. It was something like that where you could find the scooters. Every scooter in that city was dead, bro. Every scooter in that city was dead. And so, like, I remember Aiden, like, his phone was dying. And I remember, I don't know if I have it, but I have a video, bro. Somewhere I have a video. And I was, like, we had found a scooter, but it was about to die. And I like was recording the scooter and I like recording Aiden. And I think he said something like, bro, why are you laughing? Cause he was so stressed. And I was just having the time of my life, bro. It was hella funny. And he was Aiden, like, look at him now. The same way he is now, he was there like back then. He was stressed, bro, all business. And so he's like, bro, how are we gonna get home? And so we're calling people, we're calling like the chaperone and stuff. And they're like, bro, where are you? And then they're like, just take his taxi. And we're like, we have no money. And so we walk up to this taxi and we're like, I remember Aiden is just like begging him. We're both kind of begging. We're like, can you please take us to this hotel? Can you please? We have no money, but can you take us? And honestly, so
we
it was God's
pay him when we got to the hotel as well.
Yeah. But it was honestly God's work because he said, you don't have to pay me. I remember he said, you don't have to pay me. I'll take you for free. And as we were getting out the car, I, for whatever reason, I reached in my back pocket and I had 10 euros and I just paid him. Yeah. And I remember it was so late by that point because Aiden, you just let me crash at the hotel, I'm pretty sure. And then you left the next morning and then I just checked myself out. But that was crazy.
That was wild. I remember we were running down the street, like back and forth, and like we didn't know where we were. Like we totally took the wrong bus to like the wrong place. And like honestly, like the Germans, like they weren't very nice. Like no one was helping us out. And then like I remember there was this bike there. And like, I guess Joker, like you said, I mean, Johan, like his survival instincts, like jumped in. He was like, yo, like, bro, I'll take this bike. Like, we should take this bike. And I was like, bro, I'm not taking this random person's bike. No, we were having to like, the ride of the handle,
I think I remember that because I was like, bro, you'd have to like stand on the little things on the wheels or something like that. Yeah.
Cause they weren't like locking their bikes there. So it was like a free for all. So Johan was like, yo,
it wasn't like a paid bike. It was just a random dude's bike.
It was just a random bike.
Bike.
Yeah. Chris definitely knows that's probably something I would do, but anyway, I actually remember we had like two individual training sessions, and I remember, I don't know if you remember this, the first training session, we were shooting, and then you kept mocking the fact that I won National Player of the Year that year, something like that. I don't know if you remember that. And then you're like, oh man, look, that's why he's National Player of the Year or something like that. Yeah. And then the second time we did also finishing drills, and you beat me. He would not shut up about it. I remember you called Sebastian that day. And you're like, bro, guess what? I beat him in the finishing drills. Like all this. I was like, bro.
It's not. Like, I love like doing that stuff like that. Just like creating a little banter and like having a purpose behind it. You know what I mean? Like having something behind it. I know it's like stupid now when you look back on it, but it's just like talking a little smack like that. It just raises the level a little bit to where it's just like, all right, let's just compete. So. I tried to rattle it up a little bit.
Nah, but I loved it, bro. Honestly, COVID, you know, COVID stole, I think, probably some link-ups for us. I think we were both going to be involved. Mm-hmm. I think we had both gotten called to a couple of the camps, but then I was injured, yeah. And then COVID got, you know, canceled everything. Mm-hmm. We had already planned our handshake for the link-up in camp. Yeah, I know you remember that. Yeah.
Do you still remember it?
It was like 4 years ago, bro, but... like I said, it's good to see where you are now. And just going back to the discipline, I heard, and I'm a gas you up a little here, because I heard that, so you played the first game at the national team camp. And I heard that after the second game in which you didn't play, which obviously was, for those of you who don't know, is normal because of the rotations of camp, you stayed on the field for like, everyone went in, and you stayed on the field for like 45 extra minutes just getting touches. Is that true? Is that a normal thing for you to do? And how important would you say it is to put in the extra work and to make it a habit? Like, where did you pick that habit up?
So yeah.
Is that true, first of all? Yeah, it did.
Yeah. It was just like we were doing our runs. I was at Jogo, we were doing our runs. And then everyone like they called us in to do the whatever the post game, you know, talk, whatever. And I was like, I mean, like they were like bust departing and 45 minutes. So I was like, all right, like I'm not gonna just gonna waste my time sitting here. Like it's just like give me a ball, I'll go out there and do something. So that's kind of why I did that. And the habit, I mean, I think it stems from like my dad and stuff. We're all like hard workers and a lot of it's that, but it's also like practical, man. It's like I know this is just one example. Like, what am I gonna do sitting in a locker room on my phone for 30 minutes? You know what I mean? Like, what does that get me? So it's like, why not just go out there and just like find a time to get better, or it's an opportunity to get better. I mean, I'm already out here. My cleats are on. Like I have all the resources to get better. There's a whole entire stadium waiting for me to get played on. So I was like, I'll just go out there and do it. And I think like when I was growing up, I go out to training with Weston FC and we trained to like, training would go from like 7 to 9. And my dad would just on our way home, we'd stop at the park again and go train. For like an hour or 45 minutes, go home at like, go to bed at like 10:30, and then that's our day. So I think it was always kind of instilled in me. It's like, whenever you have an opportunity to get better, just do it. Yeah.
Would you say it's like a big part of your success now? Like, would you, if you had any advice to give to kids now, maybe in your position, kids playing at West End now, would you say that was like a big part of the reason that you are where you are now?
For sure. 100%. Definitely. You know, I think for me, I talk about my brother a lot. It's like, it's not a crazy algorithm. You know what I mean? It's not a crazy thing you have to figure out. It's just like I just said, like finding every single way you can get better and just doing it. Like if you truly are passionate about it and you want to get to where you want to go, like it's not crazy hard to get there. Just do everything you can to get there. Like focus on every single detail. Like anytime you have to get better, that 1% or that 0.1%, do it, dude. Like who cares? And just for me, like, I don't want to look back on my career and like, feel like I regretted anything or I could have done something more. So yeah.
Do you feel like a lot of times deep down players know what they need to do to get better? They just 100%. Overcomplicate it and try to 100%. Try to make excuses for their laziness more so.
100%. You know, I'll be honest, like I hate the work. You know what I mean? Like I don't enjoy it, but I love the results. You know what I mean? Like I don't like going out there, sorry, excuse my language, like going out there for 45 minutes and training after. Like, I'd rather just go sit on my phone, you know what I mean? Watch TikToks. Yeah,
absolutely.
But like I love the results. You know what I mean? I love the way I feel after it. You know what I mean? I love the way I feel going to another game and be like, I worked on this already for 45 minutes. Like, I got it. That's kind of my perspective on it. I know it's hard, like it's not easy. And you know, I slack as well sometimes, but
yeah, I think a lot of people tend to have a hard time working for things where their gratification is going to be delayed or a little bit farther in the future. But as someone who's there and is finally seeing the bearing of their fruits, can you confirm that, you know, if you do put in that extra hour every day after practice, that does compound and into solid results?
For sure. And I think many people don't realize in terms of when I first came into the league, like I didn't play for half the season. Like I wasn't even on the roster. I wasn't even on the, like, and I literally was just on the side in practice, like just training with our like fitness guy. And then to where I was just kept on working and I had to find a way to like, how am I going to beat Artur if he's playing 90 minutes every single weekend, getting 100 plus touches and I'm sitting on the side, like not doing anything. So like, what's my advantage? You know what I mean? So I think finding that advantage and from there, it just gave me a time to grow and focus on myself and work on little things. And then when I got my opportunity, I wasn't far behind.
Would you say you're a reader? Like, do you read books?
Dude, I suck at reading, I'll be honest, but I love listening to audiobooks. So
for
I listen to audiobooks.
For the audience, I read this book. My dad put me on it a long time ago, and it's exactly what you're talking about. It's a very popular book. It's by Malcolm Gladwell, I believe. It's called Outliers. And it's about 10,000 hours. Just do something for 10,000 hours and you'll become a master at it. There's research on it, everything, like touch a ball for 10,000 hours and you'll become a master at it. And I was just watching this video the other day where Neymar, I think, they did a research on him when he's like playing and he uses 20% of his brain capacity in the sense of like, he's not thinking when he's playing. It's just his subconscious is doing it. Like we make the most mistakes when we're using our conscious, like to actually make decisions when we just play. When it's like, we know how to play, we've been playing for however long. So kind of what you're saying, kind of what I think the people can take away from what you're saying in the conversation in general is just put in that work, like be consistent at it, keep going, put those 10,000 hours in. And I think you're going to see the results. Like Aiden said,
I think there's something to that though. I think the 10,000 hours isn't just 10,000 hours. I think it's like, if you're going to do, you know what I mean? I'd rather you go out there for 30 minutes and just be fully focused and be locked in instead of going out there and being out there for an hour and being focused for 20 minutes of it. And then the rest of the time, like you're not really locked in. And there's another book I can give you, like it's called Talent Code. And it's basically just talks about like concentrated practice and like just how to practice and how to get better. And they've studied all these different, like from soccer to playing a violin and how practice is and how you're supposed to get better through it. And it's not always about 10,000 hours. It's just about maybe going out there for 15 minutes and just like putting all your mind power to it and just focusing on it instead of being out there for an hour and you're not really like fully locked in on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 1,000%. Like no knock on certain people, but you know, if you're just going to go out to the field and hit free kicks for an hour, like that's not, you know, necessarily grinding it out, you know? But I think we're going to call this segment the Chum Chat Book Club because we just gave two book recommendations to the people.
I'll give another one. Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's about the same thing. I don't know if any of y'all have heard it. Best book I've ever read. Essentially what it's about is you make these small habits throughout your day and day by day, you won't really notice the results as we talked about earlier. Right? But over time, enough of these compound and it becomes pretty unreasonable to fail in your mind, right? You can think of any big goal you have. And if you project it, just as that goal, it can seem pretty unachievable or hard to reach. I'm sure when you guys were kids, you'd look at where you are now and you think, oh, that's impossible. That's so hard to get there. At that point, you're just playing for the love of the game, right? But eventually day by day, you did the training and eventually it compounded into what it is now. And now you're there and it seems extremely achievable. And that's kind of the whole point of the book. Over a long enough time horizon, it becomes unreasonable to fail no matter what your goal is. And if you attack it every day, no matter what, you eventually will get there. It's just about having the discipline to attack it, not only, like you said, with the quantity, but with the quality of the work that you're doing, but day in and day out. So yeah, I recommend that one as well.
For sure. I've heard about that one. I heard it's good.
Talking about goals that are achievable, probably now to you, Aiden, and just in general, you know, this is a fan question, so we gotta get to it. The U.S. men's national team needs to improve its depth at the six. You're a six, obviously. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself in that combo? Do you look at the main guys there and are like, you know, I can compete with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I believe in myself. You know what I mean? I think you do as well. I think you can play anywhere in the world. You know what I mean? I believe I could be there. I mean, in my eyes, I know I could be there. It just takes time, like anything. And I love the opportunity to show myself. And in the Serbia game, that was awesome. And hopefully I get more. I will get more, but yeah.
You've had some experiences in Europe. You've played college, you played MLS. You kind of been through the whole rotation. Is your goal eventually to move to Europe? That's where most MLS players' eyes are at. Are you taking it one day at a time, or in the back of your mind, do you have a plan that you're hoping to achieve in Europe down the road?
Mm-hmm. I think you said it perfectly. I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's me staying in the present now and controlling what I control and just doing my best in training every day, showing up to the weekends, playing good games here. And then I think that stuff comes. So I think if I take care of business here and yeah, like any kid when they're starting off their career or playing when they're 5 years old, like it's their dream to go to Europe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's definitely a dream and aspiration.
It's a good question. And I think depending on how people see, you know, their goals and stuff like that, you can say, okay, well, now I'm successful. Or maybe you consider yourself successful now. I mean, we ask all of our guests this. I think it's important to kind of see how do you define success? And do you think you've achieved it yet?
It's so funny. I was asked this question the other day in this interview with this Columbus Dispatch thing. And I know you've probably heard it before, but it's just always stuck with me in terms of just like, obviously success for me is also like making my family really proud. Like that's what I consider success. But the other thing is like, I think David Goggins said it, but it just really resonated with me in terms of like the day I pass away and I see this guy come at me and he's like, and I'm like, he's standing and he's 5'10". He's shredded. He has a UEFA Champions League medal around his like neck and he has a World Cup holding in his hand. Like, and you look at him and you're like, who is this guy? And then they're like, this is who you're supposed to be. I mean, to where it's like, if I get to that and I'm like, and I'm looking at that guy and it looks exactly like me, and I'm holding that same trophy and have a UEFA Champions League and my family's everywhere. They live in beautiful houses, everything, that I know I did. And that's what I kind of take with success. And so
it's motivational.
Johan, I want you to define it because we keep asking all these guests. I want to hear what your definition is.
Yeah, I think it. Stop laughing, bro, please. All right.
I'm just smiling, brother. Tell your piece.
No, I think it's interesting. It's always, I feel like my answer could be a little bit biased. I mean, we've asked Olympians this, NFL Pro Bowlers, you know, USMNT guys, you know, guys from all over the world. So I've heard a lot of different answers, but in my eyes, I think success is kind of like what Aiden said. But at the same time, I think success is kind of something that's impossible to measure, impossible to define. That's why I think our motto is so good, because it varies from person to person and nobody's definition is really true, I guess. There's no right answer. In my eyes, I don't think someone that's like motivated can ever see themselves as successful almost. Like you're always like gonna want more. Like what you said, like if I was 5 years old and I look at where I am now and look at the things I've lived, like even when I was 16, if you would have told me I would have had the chance to play for Porto, like I would have been like, no chance. Like I just wanted to go to college, you know? And so I think even now, like if you tell me in 5 years, they're like, oh, okay, like you'll get a chance at the national team or, you know, be able to play in the Champions League or win the Champions League, whatever it is, like, I'll be like, no way. But then when I'm actually there, then I'll be like, you know, like, is this it? You know, is there more? So I don't know. I think success to me is kind of just never being satisfied, almost just kind of like doing something one day, so celebrating it, and then like looking to the next day and wanting more. That's my definition of success, like never stopping. And that I think is someone that's successful.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Go ahead. No, you're good.
I think this, because I think you said it perfectly, John. I think the standard's always like being raised. You know what I mean? Like, you win this and then, like, can you win it another time? I think that's the way, like, the best athletes are wired in terms of, like, never satisfying with and what you have. You always want more. It's not greedy. It's just, like, you're so passionate and you're so driven. It's where, like, I'm sure you can attest to as well. Like, after I win a game, like, I'm pumped up for, like, 5 minutes after. And then it's like, oh, like, we got a game Saturday again. Like, it's like, all right, what's next? Like, cool, that was cool. Like, could I have done better? And I think you said it perfectly in terms of, like, this, the standard's always being raised and what you're chasing.
Definitely. You're always going to move the goalposts, right? So even like you mentioned earlier, that Champions League medal sounds nice now, but down the road, once you actually get that, if you're really in love with the game, you're doing it for a different purpose than the actual medal. I think something else interesting to attribute to that is it's not necessarily the medal that makes you successful, right? It's the work that you put in to get the medal, right? Sure. So saying that, when I buy this house, when I do this, when I do that, is what makes you successful. It's really not, right? It's more so the daily struggle that you go through every day that makes you the success. Only the people on the outside can see the house or see the medal or see the trophy. But what really makes you successful is winning that battle each day in and each day out.
I agree 1,000%. You have anything else from Chris?
Matt, who else do you want to see on the pod? Do you have anybody you want to plug and get on here? Is any dream guests?
Dream guest. I think you guys got the lineup pretty stacked, so I think you guys are doing it well. I don't really know anybody that crazy.
Come on, give us a name, bro. Everyone give us at least a name, like, no matter what it is. Could be your best friend.
The thing is, Daunted Nagby, like, he'd be the sickest guy to do, but, like, he just, like, that's the last thing he wants to do on his days. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's such a family guy. Like, he's just like, oh, I'm going to go home and be with my family. But I think he'd be sweet. Really interesting, like, mindset towards everything. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll keep that in mind, I guess. And if he finds an off day, maybe we will see what we can do.
Keep it in mind.
But,
keep it in mind.
Hey, before we sign off, this episode was presented by BET Online. Thank you guys for tuning in if you made it this far. Aiden, bro, thank you so much for making the time. I know we had you on for quite a while, but I think it was a fun conversation. It was good to see your perspective on different things, for people to get to know you. And, man, his Instagram will be popped up throughout the whole video. Go show him love on his socials. Go follow his season. Now it's easier than ever with MLS Apple TV. He's coming off an assist last game, so I think he's going to start to get hot. Maybe he'll score a goal here soon. So stay tuned to him, guys. And as I always say, go find your own success. Deuces.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.